Hey, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Sitting here this morning, looking over my blog, just going to go over a couple of the things that I posted over the last week, maybe get into them in a little bit more detail, but hope everybody's had a good week and is planning on getting some riding in this weekend. Definitely been some great weather here in the Junction, Grand Junction and Fruita area, and been getting a lot of great riding in, so hope I'm not the only one. But anyways, we'll jump right into it. So first thing that I got posted this week after the last summary was a video that I had made on push-ups for mountain biking. And basically push-ups are, I mean, they're just such a great core exercise for us to do, both literally and figuratively. You know, one of the exercises that you always want to have in your program on some level, and they are a great core training exercise for us. The great thing about the push-up is that it's really teaching you how to stabilize your core and then create upper body movement around that core. And that's one of the really important things for us as mountain bikers, because again, the whole idea is learning how to, you know, create stability in that, you know, in our core area, you know, with the abs and the lower back, and then create movement at the right areas, you know, particularly with the hips, which I talk about a lot, but also with the upper body. And so push-ups are a great way for us to do that. And they actually, when you do bench press or things like that, you actually don't get the same training effect. It, you know, it definitely builds upper body strength, but because you're laying down, you don't have to use your core to brace as much as you do when you're doing push-ups. But unfortunately, a lot of people tend to dismiss push-ups after a certain point. They get to a point where they feel like push-ups just aren't advanced enough for them, and so they need to start lifting heavy weights on the bench press and dumbbell bench press and stuff like that. And so, not that those aren't good exercises and you don't want to get strong on those exercises, but you never want to take the push-ups out of your program. You don't want to get to the point where you can bench press 300 pounds, but you can't do 15 clean push-ups anymore. That's not a good way to develop yourself as a mountain biker. And so, but one of the problems is that people get bored with push-ups, and so that's one of the reasons that they tend to get left out of the program. And so what I did with this video is try to go over a bunch of different variations. I mean, you can literally do a different push-up variation, and switch up every couple weeks and never run out of variations all year long. I mean, there's no real excuse to ever say that you're bored with push-ups, because there's always some sort of variation out there that you probably haven't tried or that is extremely challenging and offers a good challenge for you, and you need to work on getting strong on it. So that's kind of was the purpose behind the video. And then again, just kind of explaining why it's important for us to use push-ups, you know, great for shoulder health and things like that. So that's the deal with the push-up video that I did. Definitely make sure that you check it out and try those push-up variations. I mean, I personally think that you should be able to, you know, master a bunch of different push-up variations before you really start to get too worried about getting strong on more traditional strength training exercises like bench press and dumbbell bench press and stuff like that. And so so the next thing that I posted was, this is actually, I had one of my newsletter readers forwarded me this article from MSNBC.com, and it basically was talking about a study that that a guy had done at the University of Colorado that had, based on his study, he had concluded that exercise did not increase metabolism, and that's the headline of the article, was, you know, exercise not likely to rev up your metabolism is the name of the article. And basically what they were saying was, you know, while this isn't directly related to mountain biking, I thought this, you know, I do have a lot of people who, you know, read my blog and get my newsletter, who are interested in fat loss and general fitness and stuff like that. And plus, it is also a good example of how you have to be extremely careful about where you get your info from, because, if you don't actually read the article and kind of dig into it a little bit, there's some extremely deceiving things in the way that it's presented. And so, you know, the idea is, like, for those of you that don't know, you know, on the cutting edge of fat loss training, the idea is that you're using your exercise program to try and increase your metabolism so that you're burning more calories 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And this obviously goes against the more traditional view, which is a plain calories in, calories out view. You know, you get on a treadmill and you, you know, burn 200 calories, and then you consume, you don't replace those calories through diet, and you create a caloric deficit, and that's what causes the fat loss. And that's definitely part of the equation. But this whole idea of post-exercise calorie consumption, or you know, a thing known as EPOC, it's definitely kind of revolutionizing fat loss. And anyway, it's kind of getting off a little bit here. But the idea is this gentleman had conducted a study, and in my opinion, it looked like he definitely had an agenda. That he is definitely more of kind of a nutrition guy. And, you know, he's actually quoted in the article saying, you know, people think they have a license to eat whatever they want. And, you know, after exercise, you know, you can easily undo what you just set out. You know, basically his take is that if you burn 300 calories in a workout and then you consume 300 calories post-workout, you'd be no better off than if you hadn't exercised in the first place, which is just absolutely ludicrous. But you get into the study a little bit, you get into the article, and he basically set the study up to give him the results that he wanted it to give him. You know, he had, you know, a group of 65 people. They weren't using intervals, they weren't using strength training, they weren't using good post-workout nutrition strategies. You know, they weren't doing any of those things that the cutting-edge fat loss experts in the country recommend that you do. It, you know, it's basically kind of a self-paced exercise program. People could come in and just kind of, you know, do what they wanted, you know, on a certain level. And so definitely not a very intense workout, definitely not what people usually associate with the kind of workouts that were recommended to use to increase that post exercise, you know, calorie burn and increase metabolism. And, you know, even states like, you know, people will be lucky to put on 5 pounds of muscle. You know, I don't know. This just shows you the difference between people that work in the trenches and people that sit around in white lab coats and try and figure out why what we do works. For him to make a statement that, you know, people would be lucky to put on 5 pounds of muscle is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I've seen it time and again. People put on more lean muscle mass than that. And if you increase your lean muscle mass, you increase your metabolism. And so, again, you know, it's a very small view of the fat loss thing. But anyways, like I said, the idea behind my post is, again, just to point out, you have to be careful where you're getting your information from. You know, when you read an article that says, you know, some scientific study has concluded or shown that something happens with exercise, you definitely need to dig deeper and actually look at the study and look at how it was conducted, because, again, you've got an irresponsible media who likes to sensationalize things and likes to grab, you know, headlines like that, you know, exercise not likely to rev your metabolism. You know, that definitely got people's attention. And whether their intention was to try and show people that, hey, you know what, you either need to be exercising harder or don't eat as much after you work out, the take-home message that I got and that, you know, a lot of other people that I talked with got was that, you know, exercise isn't going to help you as much as people tell you. And there are going to be people out there that use this article as an excuse to not work out. Just like the whole stretching thing, when they had all these studies coming out showing that stretching doesn't prevent injuries and stuff like that. And you've got people who are using that as an excuse to not stretch. And so, again, you got to be very careful. You know, you've got irresponsible media. You've got, you know, you definitely run into people in the exercise science field that, you know, have what I would consider to be poorly designed studies that started out with an agenda. And, you know, I was actually discussing this with one of my buddies the other day. And, you know, he was saying, well, it can't be a poorly designed study or else it wouldn't have gotten published in a peer-reviewed journal. And that's, you know, it may have passed muster from the scientific method standpoint. But again, in my opinion, if somebody's going to test the effects of exercise on you know, fat oxidation or whatever it was that he was trying to show, you know, I would think that the responsible thing to do would be to try to at least test the best methods possible. And so, again, you know, you got to be careful what science tells us. Science tells us, you know, that the leg extension will make your quad stronger. You know, again, this is why people do leg extensions and leg presses, because there have been studies that have concluded that, you know, these exercises will make those muscles stronger. And so people say, well, you know, science has shown it, then that's what we should do. But again, you know, not taking big picture into account, as far as like how those muscles interact to create movement, you know, and things like that. And so anyway, so that was kind of the thing, you know, always beware, you know, even with my stuff, you know, I mean, I encourage people, you know, don't take what I say at face value, you know, look, you know, do some research, find out, and you'll find out that a lot of what I recommend is definitely backed up by some of the best in the industry and stuff. And so anyway, so that's kind of the point there. You know, just be careful where you get your info from. Dig a little deeper. Don't take any of these scientific studies on, you know, just face value. And but this is definitely not saying that there are no good scientific studies out there. That's definitely not the point of my article or of the post. It was simply trying to show people that, look, you know, things can be manipulated and very misleading. You know, I mean, at one point, science had concluded that steroids don't work, like literally tried to tell us back in the 80s that steroids don't make you bigger, faster, and stronger. And so, you know, again, you just got to be really careful about what exercise science is trying to tell you. So that was kind of the point of that one. My next post that I made was a Q&A. I had a guy write me and wanted to know, you know, what would I add into my dumbbell combos program? And my dumbbell combos program is by far my most popular workout program that I've ever created. You know, it's extremely time efficient, space efficient, produces great results. But the reason is so time efficient is that it does cut corners. So it does leave some good moves on the table. And so, you know, while I'm usually hesitant to answer questions like this, because part of the beauty of the dumbbell combos program and part of its effectiveness just comes from its simplicity and the fact that you only have to worry about doing a couple of exercises and not worry about how to do a bunch of different ones and stuff like that. And so, you know, I'm usually hesitant to answer questions like this, but I kind of felt like, you know what, if, you know, man, I'll dive into this. So if I was going to add some, and for those of you that haven't seen the dumbbell combos program, it's basically there is a strength training portion of the workout. You know, there are two different combination drills that I use for conditioning and stuff like that in it. But there are two strength moves, a single leg deadlift and a side press. And so if I was going to add any moves, any more exercises to that program, you know, what would I add and what would be the order that I added them into it? And so I basically told them that, well, if I was going to add anything else in, I would want you to do, one, the Turkish get-up. And the Turkish get-up is, the more that I learn about this exercise and the more that I get into this, the more that I'm realizing just how essential and important that exercise is. And so I'm going to be doing a video here on it soon and really explaining why it's so important for us as mountain bikers. Because, you know, for those of you that know the Turkish get-up, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I've got you know, some video demos on my blog, or you can just do a Google search for Turkish get up. But on the surface, people look at that And like, what the hell does that have to do with mountain biking? Well, a lot. And I'm going to explain, a little bit more in depth here in the near future why. But Turkish getup would be my top choice. My second choice would be the swing, mainly because the swing is just such a mountain bike specific movement. It's all about the hips, getting that hip hinge working, being able to slide the hips back, which is extremely important for us to know how to do so that we can get down into our attack position on the bike. It works on the eccentric strength of our legs so that we are better able to use the legs to absorb trail impacts. And then you're snapping the hips forward to create the momentum. You're keeping, the lower back out of the movement, and you're keeping your shoulders packed in nice and strong and creating movement there at the hips, which again is just such an important thing for us to know how to do. If you want to get the front end of your bike up, bunny hop, jump, whatever the case may be, knowing how to snap those hips forward is extremely important. Unfortunately, so many people don't snap the hips forward. They lean back into the movement and they use their lower back, which throws their center of gravity off, which throws their balance off, which just throws, everything else off. So swings are just a great exercise for us. And then number three is the single leg squat, or a pistol squat, but basically standing on one leg, squatting down until your upper thigh is at least parallel with the ground, and then standing back up. Single leg squats are extremely tough, but they are, a very important exercise for us. I like the single leg deadlift if I had to pick one of the two for mountain bikers, just because it has you practicing a little bit more mountain bike specific position and movement than the single leg squat does. But the single leg squat is definitely a very close second to it as far as like lower body exercises for mountain biking. And so those would be the three exercises that I would add in. And so his question was basically, if I had an extra half an hour a couple times a week and I wanted to do some extra stuff, what would you have me do? And so I actually went over a little sample workout that he could, put together. And so on the days that he's not doing his dumbbell combo program, if he's got an extra 30 minutes and he wants to grab a quick workout, I actually told him, things like push-ups and stuff that he had mentioned, feel free to do those whenever, wherever. I mean, I actually do a lot of random stuff on off days, mainly just to practice some moves and keep things working right. So, I'm definitely an advocate of doing some extra stuff on off days. I just, like in my post, I made a note that, you don't need to push yourself to the point of it affecting your quote-unquote real workouts. Actually, I heard a quote the other day. I forget exactly where it was, but sport quote. But basically it said, only the mediocre are at their best all the time. And that is so true on so many levels. But, with our workouts, every workout, every time that you touch a weight or do a quote-unquote workout or some sort of training, it doesn't need to be a super hard effort. You can have a lower intensity, lighter, kind of go through the movements day, and it will actually help and complement your harder, workouts. And so, training can take on a bunch of different forms and intensity levels and stuff like that. And so, anyways, in the post I went over a sample workout. If you've got 20-30 minutes and you want to get an extra something in and incorporate these extra exercises in, then here's what I would do. And really simple thing, for your warm up, doing 20 jumping jacks, 8 overhead shoulder dislocations, 8 squat to stand, just to kind of get things moving. And then the workout, real simple, 5 Turkish get-ups on each side, 10 swings each hand, and then 3 to 5 single leg squats on each leg, and do 2 to 3 rounds of that workout and call it a day. And again, the idea is not going super hard and heavy on this workout. It's more of a go through the motions. Again, there's that fine line. You want to work, but we're not looking to put out a bunch of effort. Like, you definitely shouldn't, in the workout, feeling exhausted and sore from it the next day. You know, you don't want it to affect your quote unquote real workout. And so anyway, so that was that. You know, what would I add to the DB Combos program? So for the first time ever, I've actually answered that question. And so if you follow the Dumbbell Combos program and you'd like an extra workout to add into it with some other movements and stuff like that, then definitely make sure you check out that blog post. And then the last thing that I posted is just a simple mountain bike workout. You know, again, just kind of talking to the same thing. You know, I was in the gym yesterday, and I had actually trained the day before, but I wanted to do something. I just kind of felt like doing a couple things, and so just made up a pretty simple workout, and I posted what I did in the gym. I did the deadlift for 5 reps. I think I was using like 245, 250 on my deadlifts, weighted chin-ups. I think I was using like 50 pounds strapped to me, you know, weighted chin-ups for 5 reps, a side press. I was using my 35-pound kettlebells for 5 reps on each side, a double kettlebell swing. I was using 2 35-pound kettlebells, one in each hand, 20 reps of that, and then the old ab wheel rollout, you know, the old plastic ab wheel that's been around forever. It's such a great core training tool, and 5 reps of that. I did that circuit twice and walked out of the gym, you know, quick, easy, super effective, and got out and was able, you know, get out and go for a ride. And you know, so again, you know, simple workouts don't necessarily mean ineffective. But there you go, just kind of you know, little sample workout for you guys, just, you know, some stuff that I did in the gym, and you know, it worked for you too. If you're going in, you're like, well, I kind of want something a little different than my normal workout, there you go, here's something a little different for you guys to try out. Anyway, so that was it. You know, all in all, I thought it was a pretty good week this week there on BikeJames.com. You know, a lot of great info posted, the push-ups, and, you know, the you know, kind of pointing out how science can be a little biased in the way that they set up and report studies and stuff like that. So definitely, you know, again, you know, just not bashing science or good scientists out there. It's just like trainers, you know, I mean, there's bad trainers and there's good trainers out there, and unfortunately, there are a lot more bad trainers than there are good trainers, and it's the same thing with exercise science. You know, there are a lot more bad exercise scientists than there are good ones, and so you have to be careful about that. You know, do your research, you know, reader beware kind of thing. You know, a couple of sample workouts for you guys to try, one that goes in conjunction with the DB Combos program, and one just kind of a random thing for you to try out, and you know, if you're looking for something new to do. So, so that's about it. So that's our wrap up for this week on BikeJames.com. Next week I'm going to be posting another video demo. This time on pull-ups for mountain biking, and you know, I'm also working on some, you know, I'm kind of excited about my new project. You know, I haven't really, you know, talked about it publicly a lot, but, you know, one of the things that I'm really trying to do is basically create a seamless transition in people's minds between the skills and endurance that you want on your bike and the exercises and training things that I talk about on my website. You know, like, the deadlift will help you corner better, but you need to understand how it's going to help you corner better, you know. And so the idea, you know, kind of my idea is trying to develop a lesson plan of sorts, I guess would be the word for it, you know, basically walk people through. You know, you say, okay, I want to get better at this skill. And, all right, well, you know, if you want to be better at this skill, then these are the movement qualities. These are basically the things that your body needs to be able to do, the positions that it needs to be able to get into. You know, and again, cornering is such a great example. I keep coming back to that, but it's just such a great example, because if you can't get into a deadlift-type position, you can't get your hips back and your chest down towards the handlebars, and then you cannot corner correctly. You are in the wrong position. Your center of gravity is in the wrong position compared to your bike center of gravity, and so you're not going to be able to execute proper cornering techniques. You're going to end up doing what you think is proper cornering technique based on the way that your body currently moves, and you're actually going to end up developing bad habits that will eventually start to hold you back. And so the idea is for us to step back. Like, I mean, realistically, if you can't touch your toes, then you don't need to be worrying about cornering drills and the high technique side of mountain biking, because you don't have the basic hip mobility that you need to even be able to teach your body how to get into those positions in the first place. And so basically I just think that, you know, one of the things that our sport is missing is that integration between off the bike training and on the bike skills and training, and how those two integrate together and seamlessly work together. And so again, you know, it's something I'm pretty excited about, because if this does work out the way that I envision, I mean, this literally could revolutionize our sport and create a true lesson plan for any mountain biker who wants to take their riding to the highest levels possible for them. And so, you know, that's something that just really hasn't existed in our sport. It exists in other sports, but it doesn't exist in our sport. And so so it's something that I think that we really need to look at developing and implementing. So anyway, so that's kind of, you know, my project that I've been working on behind the scenes, and I'm hoping to have my first quote-unquote lesson plan, you know, to unveil here in the next week or two, and kind of, you know, get some feedback and see what people think. But you know, this really could be, you know, the cutting edge revolution for our sport that we've been waiting for. And, you know, again, you know, if you're listening to this, it's because you enjoy mountain biking and you want to be a better rider. You know, there's definitely riders out there that don't care, and that's fine, and I'm not for them. You know, if you have no desire to take your riding to the next level, then that's fine. You know, no, I'm not going to fault you for that. But I love riding my mountain bike. I love having fun on my mountain bike. And, you know, just the better that I get, the more fit that I get, the more I'm able to refine my skills, the more fun that I have. And that's really the thing that I really want to be able to share with everybody, is being able to experience those levels of fun that you don't even know exist. You know, I mean, if you know, you look at, you know, like, you know, Steve Pete or you know, Kyle Strader, you know, one of those guys, and watch how they ride. I mean, you know, those guys are having just a ton of fun. It's not saying that you're not having fun on the trail, but you can't tell me that riding at their level isn't more fun. And there's levels of fun that we just haven't even discovered yet. And you don't even know they're there until you start to tap into them, until you start to feel like, oh man, yeah, okay, now I understand. Now my body's in a better position. I'm able to, you know, start cleaning sections of trail that I was never able to clean before, or, you know, execute skills that I was never able to really get down before. And once you do that, it's like, you know, bam, you know, a little more fun. It's like, wow, that's fun. You know, once you kind of start to experience that, and you're able to control it. You know, that's the other thing, is that as riders, we've all progressed as riders, but very rarely are we able to say exactly why and understand, like, well, how do I keep this going? You know, usually it just kind of happens. You know, all of a sudden one day we're able to kind of do something a little bit better than we were the day before, and we don't really understand why. We don't know what we were doing differently. We don't know what, you know, compared to before. And it's kind of a random happenstance thing, and we're not able, you know, sometimes we have it and sometimes we don't, and you know, that can be a little frustrating in itself. And so, you know, the idea is that if you can have a better understanding of exactly what you need to do to take your riding to the next level, and understand that when you do make an advancement, why you made that advancement, what it is about how you're you know, your body, your strength, your endurance, your skills, whatever the case may be, you know, what it is that actually led to that advancement and what you can keep doing to keep that advancement going, it's just going to open up worlds for us that just were not available before. And so so that's kind of it, man. I hope you guys can tell that I'm really excited about, you know, kind of this new focus that I'm trying to give to MTB Strength Training Systems and take it beyond just strength training, because, you know, I understand as mountain bikers, you guys don't care about getting stronger. That's not your goal. Your goal is to be a better mountain biker. And so if I can better help you understand how these exercises and things that I'm talking about are going to directly translate to helping you have more fun on the trail, then I think that it's going to help you guys understand why this stuff is so vital, that why you simply cannot be the best rider that you can be without incorporating these things into your routine. And so that's basically what it all boils down to. I just want to, you know, have more fun, help you guys have more fun. Whatever level you're at, you know, help you be able to take it to the next level. So that's it. So, you know, kind of a little bit of a random rant on some stuff I got planned there. But like I said, you know, hopefully here in the next week or two, I'll be rolling out my first, you know, intro lesson plan and getting some feedback and seeing what you guys think. So anyways, once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. And, you know, be sure to check out all this stuff at bikejames.com. It's pretty much the premier mountain bike training site on the planet. You know, you're going to get more good info on this site than you will out of most books that you can buy. And so, anyways, hope you guys have enjoyed this edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast, and I will talk to you guys next time.